everybody, and welcome back to I Just Had a Terrible Thought, one of several shows on the internet. My name is Kyle, and I'm all alone again. And I know what you're saying. You're saying to yourself, oh my God, Kyle, where's the show? Why wasn't there a show? What am I gonna do? Well, here's the show, for starters, so calm down, relax, take a few breaths. But the reason the show is late is because Friday night, podcast night, I was pumped and I was ready to do a show, and I haven't felt this good in a long time. You hear me every once in a while talk about how fucking depressed I get. In fact, like just a few days earlier, like maybe Wednesday, I took like five different online tests to self-diagnose depression, and four out of the five said, yeah, dog, you depressed. The fifth one was like, meh, I don't know. Anyway, unrelated. So I was pumped. I hadn't felt this good in a long time. And I attribute that to mostly the weather, I think. It's been really, really nice lately. And partially the fact that I felt like I'd finally accomplished something at work, which this is going to get real boring for a minute, but just bear with me. I mentioned recently that there were all these things going wrong at work because of the Americans with Disabilities Act. They had just kind of updated these regulations, these legal requirements for how we do things like typeset Braille. And one of the problems we were having was that there are regulations for how far apart the dots in Braille can be. And we have a font that we use for typesetting Braille. And then we like send that over to a machine that drills holes and we put beads in it. It's this whole fucking process. But we have this font for typesetting Braille, and our font was all wrong. And I was the one who noticed it. I was the only one who noticed it because I was the only one who checked. And I went to my boss and I was like, yeah, our Braille's all wrong. And I had to bring visual aids, which is kind of ironic in this circumstance. But I had to bring visual aids to prove that it was wrong, to just to get her to hear me out. Then when I finally did convince her, she just basically threw her hands up and went, oh no, what are we going to do? So since nobody seemed to have a solution or to even really be that interested in finding one, I took it upon myself to teach myself how to make a new font, which at first I wasn't that successful with because I got the whole font constructed, but I was having Braille is made up of cells, and each cell has six dots. Well, six possible dots, like six positions. And then there either are or are not dots in those positions, and that's how the different characters are made up. And then there's supposed to be, I got it so that the dots were all the same, were all the correct distance within a character, within a cell. But the cells themselves, I couldn't figure out a way to get them spaced right without having to go through and manually space each pair, which would mean like every possible character combination I would have to manually space out. And there's like over 9,000 of them. And that's not a reference to some shitty meme. There were literally over 9,000 pairs. So that would have taken forever. So I thought I was screwed, but I eventually figured a way out around that. Sent the font on to my boss, and she was like, yay, because nobody else was going to do anything. So I felt like, yeah, I really fucking did something. So I was kind of, I guess I got a little bit of a high off of that. The weather was beautiful. I was listening to some banging beats. I felt great. So I'm all pumped to do a show, and I haven't felt that way in a long time. So I'm sitting around waiting for Orion. It's just about showtime. He's like half an hour late, and I'm like, damn it. But he's kind of late sometimes. Then he's an hour late. Now I'm starting to get kind of pissed. Then he's an hour and a half late. Now I'm really starting to get kind of pissed. Then he's 2 hours late. And I'm like, did I forget something? Because this is ridiculous. Like I checked his Facebook and didn't see any recent updates, but his girlfriend Aldi's Facebook had been updated fairly recently. And she's talking about what a great day she had and stuff. So I'm thinking he's probably not dead. So did I forget something? Did he make plans and I totally forgot about it? So I sent him an email. I started to calm down, but I started to get depressed again. And then eventually it got so late that I just went to sleep. Next day, Saturday, I got an email back from him. And he's like, oh, yeah, I was at my brother's concert. His brother plays the musics, and he had a rock show in Lansing. So Orion was out of town, and I did know about the show, and I even knew what day it was on. But I don't remember us talking about it real specifically, like, I'm going to have to miss a show because of this thing. I think I just failed to put two and two together because it had been a while since I'd like talked about it and what day it was going to be on. And so it was really, it would have been nice if he had been like, hey, dude, I'm going to have to miss next week. but I did know, you know, so it's really my fault for just not putting it together. So we're cool. I'm not upset with him. And luckily the email I sent him wasn't like, fuck you, asshole. This is the last straw. I was just like, did I forget something or what's going on? And he let me know that, yes, you did forget something. So Orion couldn't make it. And I was too depressed at that point. I just crashed from my high and I just couldn't do it by myself. But now I'm like, God damn it. We missed our first show officially not too long ago because we missed two shows ever. And the first one we missed, we ended up doing a bonus show to kind of make up for it. So really, we've only ever missed one show before. And I was like, I don't want to make a habit of this shit. Like, this is how people pod fade. I don't know if you've ever heard that term. It's an industry term in the podcast scene. When people pod fade, it's when they just kind of fade away. They just sort of, they slow down and then they just stop doing episodes and then people forget they ever existed. And then it's like, oh, wait, what happened to that one show? Yeah, they just stopped doing it. So I don't want to do that shit. So I'm like, okay, let's do an episode, Kyle. You can do this. You've done it before. It might suck, but at least the numbers will be consistent. So that's what I'm doing. So I guess a quick update on my car situation, since that seems to be all I've been able to talk about lately. I don't know where exactly we left off, but the lady I bought a car from, then I gave it back to her because it broke, and then she was going to scrap it for me. She scrapped it, and then I couldn't get a hold of her for a while. Well, she finally got back to me via email the day after the last show, so two Saturdays ago now, and she said, see if you can get a ride to my shop today. I don't have a way to bring you the money right now because my car is getting work done. Please call me at the shop. Then she gave me the shop's number. My cell is temporarily disconnected. Thanks. And then her name. And I was not digging that. I didn't mind going out there to get the money. What bothered me about that was all of a sudden her car is in the shop and her phone is temporarily disconnected. This is after the last time I was talking to her. She had somehow hurt her back and then couldn't like meet us the night we were supposed to come out. And then she was supposed to come here and she didn't. So like, it seems like she was getting real flaky, like she was trying to dodge me. But okay, fine. Later that day, I called her shop and she wasn't there. I spoke to I didn't know this over the phone, but a black guy who I swear he said his name was Cletus. So a black guy named Cletus. And then he said, oh, you that guy she was supposed to give money to. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh yeah, man, I'll come down. I can take care of you. Okay. So she wasn't there, but Black Cletus was going to give me my money. So we went down there, me and my roommate, John, and Black Cletus gave me my money. So I now have $300 of my original $800 back. So bitch finally gave me my money. So I guess she wasn't, I guess she really, really did hurt her back and really did have something wrong with her car that needed to get fixed and really did have her cell phone temporarily disconnected, I guess. As for my other car, the old car that I thought was going to get repossessed, it's still here. I got an extension till the 16th from the apartment complex, but I couldn't figure out anything to do with it between then and the deadline. And so I just decided, you know what, fuck it, just let them take it. At least it'll be gone. At least it'll be progress. Because if I just keep finding little ways to postpone it, like Orion last week was suggesting different things, like his dad could bring out a little trailer and tow it away somewhere else so that it wouldn't get whatever. If I keep doing that, eventually something's got to happen with it anyway. So fuck it, just let him tow it. That'll kind of get the wheels in motion. It'll suck, but whatever. It's not like I don't owe $1 million to everybody already. But it's still here. There's a new orange sticker on it now, which I assume says the same thing. I just noticed it today when I got home from work. I assume it says you've got 48 hours or this thing will be towed. So I guess they've just kind of started the whole process over again. So I don't know how long it's going to be here, but it's here and I'm going to let them take it. So that's my car thing. That's done for now. I'm done talking about that for now until there's a new fucking stupid development. I'm still without wheels. In other news this week, I did a guest appearance on Whiskey Thursday, a special guest appearance, a celebrity guest appearance is how I choose to see it. It was me and, oh, there's like a fire truck blaring its horn or something outside. Good. Hope somebody burns to death. It was me and Sean Ryan from Method to Madness and Alpha Counter and JP or John Paul from Whiskey Thursday. He's the main host. And we all had a rip-roaring good time. I was a little disappointed, but not in either of those boys. I was disappointed in me because I felt like I didn't talk enough, which it was due to a number of things. One was we did it over Skype, and I have never really done that sort of thing other than the time I did a YouTube interview thing with a dude. I've never really done the whole co-host thing over Skype. And it's weird because there's a little bit of a delay, and Skype does its own weird like compression thing where if two people are talking at once, one of you gets turned down. And so like, it makes me feel really weird about talking over each other. And so I think I erred too much on the side of caution and just went silent too often, which then leaves John Paul in the lurch. Like, he'll say something and then I go silent. And then it's like, I just left him hanging, and I felt bad about all that. But it wasn't a bad show. I just felt bad because I felt like I should have spoke up more. We talked about Asians and dicks and 69ing children. We talked about real dolls. We talked about farm animals replacing your teeth. It was a good show. So you should check that out if you haven't already. That's Whiskey Thursday is the name of the podcast, and you can find it at fightbait.com. FIGHTBAIT.com. And then we did like a tiny bit of an after show, I guess, although it was mostly unintentional. We just left the stream going and kept talking. In fact, for a little while, I don't think we really realized that we were still streaming while we were talking. So we said a lot of bad things that people shouldn't have heard. But the funny thing is, once we got to that point, I felt like it went better. It went more smoothly than it did when we were doing the actual show, which kind of sucks. I kind of wished we could have started over right there. But we talked a little bit about podcasting and sort of some of the ins and outs of podcasting. And I mentioned to the boys that our show isn't in iTunes, and it's never been in iTunes. I've tried to submit it several times to iTunes, and at first they would always send me an email back saying that my RSS feed wasn't properly formatted. And I'd run it through all these feed validator websites and stuff that all said, oh yeah, your RSS feed is fine. So I couldn't figure out what was wrong with it. I tried emailing them back, and they would always come back and send me the same form letter that says something's wrong with your RSS feed. So I could never figure it out. Then I kept submitting it, and eventually they just stopped emailing me. So I just gave up. So I mentioned this to the boys, and they sort of took a look at it. And JP decided he was just going to try to submit the feed for me. I was like, okay. And it worked. Like, the next day, I got an email saying it was pending review, and I think the day after that, I got another email saying, yeah, it's good, you're in, and we're in iTunes now. So check us out in iTunes. If you're not subscribed to us in iTunes, but you use iTunes, subscribe to us in iTunes, and either way, go in there and leave us some reviews and stuff, because that's like what you do, right? I don't know, I've never been in iTunes. Seems like that's the thing they do around there. So yeah. Review us in iTunes, make us super popular, and that should be good. What else have I been doing this week, I hear you ask? Well, when I couldn't do a show due to severe, numbing, crippling depression, I decided, you know what'll lift my spirits? Crippled girls. A while back, I saw a post in our forum about a game called Katawa Shoujo. Which I think literally translates to cripple girls. It's kind of a dating sim. I've never really played a dating sim before. I don't really know anything about them. They've always seemed like they would probably be gay or just, I don't know. They've always seemed like they would cater to a kind of person that I would want to smush like their face into like a ground up glass or something and just like kill them. But this one seemed funny to me. Like the idea of a dating sim where you date crippled girls seemed like it would be entertaining to me. So I didn't have anything else going on. I needed something to lift my spirit. So I thought, fuck it, I'll play this game. And I did play the game. And your main character's name is Hizao. I think that's... I always have trouble with Japanese pronunciations, mostly because I don't know where to put the emphasis on most words. Like when I watched Neon Genesis Evangelion, there's a chick on there named Asuka, and the name is spelled A-S-U-K-A. Now, if I had just read that name, I would have pronounced it Asuka, because I'm retarded, apparently. But it's pronounced Asuka. They do that sometimes, usually with U's, it seems, in my experience, but I don't fucking know. But there'll be a letter in there somewhere that gets almost no emphasis whatsoever. I think even with Asuka, it's not really Asuka, it's like Asuka. But anyway, so I don't know, like there's a chick named Hanako. I don't know. But okay, so your main character's name is Hisao, and he's a little Japanese boy. I don't know how old they're supposed to be, 17 maybe? They're seniors in high school. And he has a heart arrhythmia, which he finds out when he's going to a normal school, and a girl he's totally into leaves him a note in one of his school books saying, hey, meet me at this place, and it's snowing, and it's, oh, he's so excited, and he goes and he meets her, and he doesn't know what girl it is, he just knows he's gonna meet a girl, and then she shows up, and he's like, oh, it's the girl of my dreams, and then, like, he starts to go all lightheaded and stuff, and his heart starts beating all crazy, and he collapses and passes out, and then he ends up in the hospital, and he gets diagnosed with his heart arrhythmia, and he's in the hospital for, like, months, I think, and eventually they're like, yeah, this heart thing is bad news. You are basically a cripple now. We don't think you should go back to your regular school. We're going to send you to cripple school. And he's not so sure about that. He doesn't really like that idea. But hey, what's he going to do? So he goes to cripple school. And that's where he meets all these hot cripple babes. So I'm going to go over the list of hot cripple babes now. There's Emmy, who has no legs. But she does have those runner's prosthetic legs. Those weird little springy running blade things. And she's super into running. She's on the track and field team. She's got little pigtails that she wears all the time. There's Hanako, who is the burn victim. I don't know why burn victims make me laugh, but they do. She's a burn victim. She's got long, dark hair, and she's got burns all down one side of her body. And she's super shy, and she basically runs away whenever you try to talk to her. Then there's Lily, who is this tall, blonde, blind girl who I think is half Scottish. And she's really, really nice and kind of prim and proper. And she's friends with Hanako, the Bernie one. And she's like her only friend. And then there's Rin, who is this artsy chick with no arms. She's kind of nuts. I don't know much about her at this point. She wears a boy's uniform all the time, which I think is because it has pants. And she does everything with her feet. So if she was wearing a skirt, it'd be all panty shots all the time. Which actually for a dating sim seems like it would be ideal. But they said no to that apparently. And then there's Shizune. Shizune? I don't know. Fuck it. She's deaf. And she's the head of the student council. And then there's Misha, who is her best friend and interpreter. And all of those girls that I just mentioned, other than Misha, are girls that you can bang. Or at least date. I don't know. They're all girls that you can date, but Misha, for whatever reason, I don't think that you can, which is kind of disappointing. I also don't know what the fuck is wrong with Misha. She's Shizune's interpreter, so she knows sign language, but she's not deaf. She stutters sometimes and has trouble with big words, so maybe she's tarded? I don't know, maybe she's just got a learning disability? But she has pink hair. And overall, I gotta say, I played a lot more of this game than any sane person, should admit to. I basically played through the game three times. The first time I got the bad ending, like the worst possible ending, where there's this dude in your dormitory named Kenji, who is this like conspiracy theorist, misogynist guy who thinks that there's this feminist conspiracy to take out men and that there's a war coming between men and women. And there's this big festival that the school has been planning forever. And on the day of the festival, your character, if you do everything wrong, doesn't have anything going on. So he goes with Kenji and they both go to the roof of the school and get wasted. And I'm ruining this for you, sorry. They go to the roof of the school, they get wasted on whiskey that Kenji brings. And then your character backs up into a fence, falls off the roof of the school, and you die. That was the first ending I got. then I decided I did not like that ending, so I was going to play it again. Now, it's not as crazy as it sounds, because let me just explain how the game works, first of all. There's images on the screen of the characters and the setting, and then there's text, and you're basically just reading the game. It's not even really a game. It's more like a digital graphic novel or something. And every once in a while, you get a question, and you get two options. And I'm a little disappointed, actually, in the way this plays out, because A, I don't think there are enough questions. Like, really, the vast majority of the game is just you watching and reading. And B, I think that the questions are usually kind of shitty. Like, there's no real way to guess the outcome of a lot of these questions, and they're pivotal to the to the plot of the game, to like the your progression in the game. Like, these are how you and figure out, or not figure out, but these are how the game decides which course you're going to take. But the questions are like one of the questions was like, the school nurse is like, you really need to start exercising, and your possible answers are something like, of course, or maybe. And if you pick maybe, the game basically takes that as you deciding not to work out, which is, I don't know, it didn't seem as obvious to me at the time. Maybe sounds like maybe to me, like maybe later you'll get another opportunity to actually decide if you want to exercise or not. But you basically have decided when you click maybe. I thought that was weird. And I think that's the ambiguity of the questions, of your possible answers to the questions, I think is why I ended up getting the shitty ending the first time. But I was surprised. I forget what I was talking about before I went off on that tangent. But I was surprised. I think the thing in general is more well-written than I expected. I guess this, it's not, it's all Japanese-y, kind of anime manga looking, and it takes place in Japan. But it's not made, it's not a Japanese game that's been translated into English. It was made by people from 4chan. I guess there was this this drawing by some manga artist that had all these characters in it, and 4chan got a hold of it, and they were like, we should really make this game. And so they did. And so before I had played it at all, and I knew it was about cripple girls, and I knew it had involved 4chan, I thought it was going to be nuts. You know, I thought it was going to be really crude and offensive or whatever. Lots of banging of crippled girls, which I thought would, I wouldn't have had a problem with. I would have thought that was funny. But it's not. It's actually really well written for what it is, and really kind of sensitive. And it treats all the subjects kind of with a sensitivity that I found surprising. Although you do, okay, yeah, I played through the game three times. I got I got the horrible ending. Then I decided to play it again. This is where I was going. And when I decided to play it again, at first I wasn't sure if I was going to play it again. Then I realized there was a skip function. This is why it's not so crazy that I played through it multiple times. There's a skip function. And what that does is it makes everything basically go into fast forward, and it advances through the dialogue automatically until you get to a question. So I could just skip all the way up to the first question. And then if I wanted to answer the question the same way, I could answer it the same way and then just skip again, because I'd seen all of that, and just let it do its thing till it got to the next question. So I didn't actually have to play through everything all over again. Plus, you can save. I didn't save it all my first time through because I'm an idiot. But the second time through, I would save at the question. So then if I wanted to play through it again, I could go back to a question that I wanted to answer differently and not have to play through the whole thing again. Having said that, I still played several hours of this game. But yeah, so when I went through it the second time, I started using a walkthrough because, like I said, the questions are too ambiguous for me. So I wanted a little more control, so I started using a walkthrough so I knew what to answer to what questions. And the second time I went through it, I went for Hanako, the Bernie girl. And that was pretty nuts. And at the end of it, or towards the end of it, not even the end of it, there's more after this, but towards the end of it, you end up banging, again, spoiler alert, you end up banging the girl with the burn victim girl. And I should have known that that was going to happen. You know, I think that's often what these dating sim things are about. I was a little surprised in that, like, it's graphic visually, I guess. They're not moving images, so it's not like, it's not like a porno, but it's, I mean, you can see dick and you can see vagina and you can see penetration, so it's graphic visually. But I was, it again, it was handled with a surprising amount of, I don't know about sensitivity, but it wasn't handled really as crudely as I think you would probably expect. It was handled relatively realistically. Like, it's from your perspective, so I guess, like, there's some kind of amount of crudity going on because you're a dude banging a girl, but it's not like, it doesn't turn all porno. Like, it treats the situation kind of realistically in the sense that this is this girl with this horrible scarred past. She can't trust anybody, and now she's finally letting you in, and you're banging her, and the whole thing's kind of awkward. You don't even manage to get her tights off. It's weird. The second time I went through it, I went for the girl without the legs. I think she's my favorite. Even though I may have said before that I couldn't date a girl with no legs, but the girl without the legs is my favorite. There is one part of that playthrough that I thought was a little weird, and it seemed very pervy, more like what I expected, where they sneak off into a shed next to the field, like the track, and they're going to bang in the shed, and they find a bottle of lube that belongs to the gay captain of the track team, I think. Some gay member of the track team, and the girl with no legs is like, oh yeah, that's the guy, the gay guy from the track teams. And he says anal is really good, and we probably shouldn't do it in the vag because we don't have any protection or something like that. So hey, do you want to try it up the butt? And they have a go at it, and it goes horribly, and she ends up sore, and they both agree never to do it again. But it is kind of like that part seemed a little, I don't know, it still though wasn't treated as crudely, or however you want to put it, as it could have been. It still seemed, in a way, it kind of reminded me, even though I've never tried anal, it kind of reminded me of some of my earlier sexual experiences, in that it was sort of awkward and weird, and there's a sort of curious innocence to it. I don't know. Well, I'm sounding like a real gay lord. What else about this game? The art is mostly really good. Almost all of it is really well done. And there are, I was surprised to find that there are some FMVs, some like animated anime type sequences, which are also surprisingly well done, considering this is like a total indie production. And I was looking at the credits, and apparently the FMVs were done entirely by one person. And if I didn't know any better, for most of them, I would have assumed they came from some actual anime, but they don't. So I was really impressed with that. I was really impressed with most of the art. The backgrounds, for the most, for pretty much entirely, the backgrounds are apparently photographs. I don't know where the photographs came from, if they were taken for the game or if they were found online, or I have no idea. And they applied some kind of like painterly kind of filter to it. But it's not as, that could have gone horribly. That could look terrible, but it didn't really. It worked fine. But there were a few instances where I thought the art was surprisingly bad, considering how good the rest of the art was. Like there's a character in the game that doesn't really appear much, at least in the playthroughs I've done, who's an art teacher. And compared to the rest of the characters in the game, he looks really poorly drawn to me. There are a couple of male characters who look really poorly drawn to me, which surprises me, and I'm not sure why that is. Maybe it's just the person who handled all the character drawings just is terrible at drawing dudes, or maybe the characters were handled by different people, and whoever handled like the side characters, it wasn't as good as whoever handled the main characters. I don't really know. And I guess, yeah, if you're super bored, I would recommend playing it. Which I'm kind of, I'm kind of surprised to find myself doing. But it's long, and it's mostly reading, and it is still at the end of the day, basically a dating sim. Like I could totally imagine people not really digging it and not having the patience to get into it. But it is, like I said, it's surprisingly well handled. I think, you know, it could have gone entirely differently, being a game called Cripple Girls about banging cripple girls. It could have gone much, much differently. And I think you would be surprised. And I may play through a few more of the scenarios. I don't know, because I don't have much of a life. And this is basically what I do, is sit at my computer all the time by myself. So I may play through a few more of those scenarios, see what's going on with Blind Lily, the blonde chick, maybe Rin. I'm actually really curious about Rin. She's the artist chick who's just really, really, really strange, who has no arms. I'm very curious to see how the fuck that goes, because she seems to have, not in a shy way or like a traumatized way, she seems to have no ability to relate to other people. So I don't know how you could possibly end up dating her, let alone banging her later in the game. So I'm curious about that one. And at that point, as crazy as it is, because I haven't really gone for that long, I think I'm going to take a little break, because doing this by myself is hard, dog. Cut me some slack. Break.
Hello. Have you ever found yourself saying, I have too much money? How is a gentleman supposed to appreciate the finer things in life with all of this unnecessary clutter getting in the way? Well, fear not, friends, for I have found the solution. I just had a terrible thought. You see, there's this thing among the proletariat called debt. It eats money, and they have lots of it. Send your extraneous cash to the boys at Itch Hat, and they will make it disappear. Just click the donate button on the main page at IJustHadATerribleThought.com. I Just Had a Terrible Thought, the only monetary sinkhole on the internet.
Yo, 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 I'm back from break. Hi, everybody. I think I'm going to get into the listener things, and then maybe if I'm feeling up to it, I don't know, this solo stuff is taking it out of me. Maybe if I'm up to it, I'll get into a couple other things, but I want to do the listener stuff because that's why I'm doing a show today, because I don't want to leave you hanging, okay? So here we go. I'm going to start with the Facebook. First on the Facebook is Miss Nick. She says, oh, by the way, Miss Nick had a birthday recently. Happy birthday, Miss Nick. She's like 47 now, I think. She says, it's St. Patty's tomorrow. Are you crazy cats going to be celebrating? If so, what's your beverage of choice? And pics of drunken mischief, please. I did not go celebrating on St. Patty's Day. I don't know if Orion did or not, but St. Patty's Day has always been a weird one for me. Like, I've never really gotten into it. I think I find it kind of annoying, to be honest. Everybody has to wear green or you get pinched thing is just obnoxious. It's just an excuse for people who are dicks to go around being dicks, you know, because pinching somebody isn't cool, especially because they're not properly observing a holiday. People drink green beer, which is weird. I mean, it's fine, I guess, but it's just food coloring in beer, so who cares? I guess if I had like a bunch of friends who were going out for St. Patty's Day at night to a bar and they were like, hey, you want to come with? Then I might have done it because it'd just be like any other night going out to get drunk with friends. But I didn't have anything like that going on and I didn't feel any particular need to organize anything like that. So yeah, I basically just stayed home. However, earlier last week I did get when John and I went out to get the money for my car, we stopped at a Taco Bell and I had some of the Doritos Taco Locos or whatever. The new Doritos tacos where the shell has Doritos nacho cheese powder all over it. And those were pretty good. But then later in the week, for reasons I can't remember, I think John just wanted to do it. Roommate John and I went out and got Shamrock Shakes, which I haven't had in years. I think every year, that's the one thing around St. Patrick's Day that I do want to do every year. And I always end up forgetting. And I never get my Shamrock Shake. So this is the first one I've had in years. And it came in, it was all fancy. Like, I remember the Shamrock Shakes coming in the big, you know, regular paper cups. But this year, it was a plastic cup that said McCafe on the side of it. And it had a domed lid. And it had whipped cream on top and a little cherry. It was very, very fancy. And it was good. I enjoyed myself a Shamrock Shake. Although it did occur to me, I think I made a tweet to this effect, that essentially a Shamrock Shake to me seems like, and actually pretty much all St. Patrick's Day celebrations seem like a trivialization and a sort of a mockery of a culture, which I don't personally have a problem with, but it surprises me that nobody seems to have a problem with. Like, we're basically, like, people say shit like, hey, it's St. Patrick's Day, we're all Irish on St. Patrick's Day, which is a crazy fucking thing to say to begin with. But like, what if you said, hey, it's Martin Luther King Day, we're all black on Martin Luther King Day? I don't think that would go over so well. And I know black is a race and Irish is a culture or nationality or whatever, but it's kind of the same thing. And so like Shamrock Shakes, like the only way I think it could really be more blatant is if it was like a potato shake or something that you were having for like at this... Today at Denny's, everything we sell is potato-based. You can't get anything that doesn't have potatoes in it. I think that is the only way it could really be worse. But you know what? I'll take it. Your prejudice against the Irish people is delicious, and I will take it. The next thing on the Facebook is roommate John. He says, what about a contest? Best promotion of Idge Hat by a listener, whether through graffiti, a hot girl with Idge Hat in marker on her belly, walking around in booty shorts, etc. Winner to receive their own rap song written and performed by Kyle and Orion, maybe. There's a couple of problems I see with this. One is that, first of all, I don't have a ton of confidence in the idea that people would take part in this contest. I could really see this going where like we get one entry and it's like Poopy Barfy spelling out Itch Hat with the entrails of a baby and that's it. And so he wins by default. Another problem I can see with this would be that I just don't know how, like, how do you gauge the best promotion? I guess it could just be up to Orion and I, whichever one we like the best. But then how do you, like, certain methods of promotion, how do you submit it? Do you just say, oh, I did this? Like, oh, I at my school, I got on the loudspeaker and I said, everybody go to itchhat. I just had a terrible thought.com, which would be crazy if you did that. But how would we ever know that you did that? Unless, I guess, you had a recording of it or something. So I think, like, that sort of limits your options because you got to provide some kind of evidence of what you did. And then the third complication is that we've done raps in the past. We've done two of them. And the last one we never really finished and took us forever to even let people see or hear what we had done. And so I don't 100% trust us to do it. And I wouldn't blame anyone else for not trusting us to do it. So then, like, if you're not 100% sure you're going to get your prize at the end of the contest, then why enter the contest? If people are interested, I would be willing to go through with this contest. I like the contest in theory. So yeah, I guess, sure. We're starting a contest. Best promotion of itchhat by a listener gets a rap song written and performed by Kyle and Orion. But Orion's not here. So, and well, Orion's not here, so he can't agree to this. And I don't know if he would agree to it. And the fact that we were trying to do it together is part of the reason the last rap didn't get made. Not because Orion did anything wrong or I did anything wrong, but it just kind of stalled out because we could only work on it a little bit at a time when he could get over here, you know? And so, like, I started to lose interest, and when things didn't go right, I was already losing a little bit of interest, so I didn't want to work on it anymore. So I tell you what, we'll leave Orion out of it. Winner gets a rap song written and performed by me. Now, I don't know if that's as appealing, but I'm putting it out there. Best promotion by a listener. Winner gets a rap song written and performed by me. Deadline, I don't know, was today. Today's the 19th of March. Let's give it a month. So the 19th of April is the deadline. So get on that. Then roommate John says, does Miss Nick even have booty shorts, though? Which is a good question, and I don't know the answer to that. You'll have to ask her yourself. And now I'm stuttering. Then our buddy Paul says, wow, I made millions of people aware of a horrible crime lord in Africa. Better get naked and run around like a madman. Then he posts some links. Jason Russell, the guy who stars in, basically, and put together the Kony 2012 video, apparently a few days ago, sometime last week, went running around naked, masturbating in public, vandalizing things, or like smashing cars or something. I read about this, and there is a video of a little tiny clip that's supposed to be of him running around naked in the middle of San Diego. I guess he was apprehended by the police, but the last thing I read about it was that they're not going to charge him with anything. So I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know why he lost it. I haven't seen any news on that, like why he lost it. Like, was it just a psychological breakdown, or was he on some kind of drugs? And why is he not being charged with anything? That makes me think it's some kind of psychological breakdown. Either that, or he has some kind of weird pull that gets him off the hook when he really should be charged with something. If it's a psychological breakdown, I wonder what triggered it. Like, I mean, there have been a number of assholes on the internet, like myself, saying, and Paul saying, you know, fuck this video. Well, not fuck this video, but, like, you know, kind of trash talking the video and stuff. And then some people trash talking them about their financials. But, like, just days before this little breakdown thing, he was on the Today Show. Things seemed to be going pretty well for him. I guess stress does crazy things to people, but I don't know what the fucking deal is with this guy. Kind of a nut. I don't have anything else really to say about it. He's nuts. And until there are some further developments, like an explanation for why he lost it, I'm not sure what to say about it. So that was everything on the Facebook. So let's move on to the old Twitters. Let's see. Bames Jond says, am I the only one who gives absolutely zero shits about Mass Effect 3? Also, how's Kyle's beard coming in? I'll take these in reverse order. My beard is coming in beautifully. I have an absolutely massive beard. I have taken to calling it my depression beard because the only reason I ever grow a beard is because I just cannot be fucked to shave the damn thing off. part of the reason it's gotten as big as it has is because I seem to have lost my clippers, my little buzzer. And usually when I want to get rid of my beard, I'll buzz it down. So I still have some facial hair, but it's closer to like a 5 o'clock shadow kind of thing. I don't like to shave it clean because for some reason I feel like having at least something there kind of defines my face and makes it look less like it's melting into my neck. And because I can't find my clippers to do that, my only other option would be to shave it all off. And I really don't want to do that. And I already really don't want to put in the effort either way. So it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. I did today. I combed it, which is something I never do and probably should. I usually just let it do its own thing. I kind of figured it's all wiry and curly and stuff. And I kind of figured combing it wouldn't make any difference. But it seems to make a little bit of difference. So I'm going to start combing this thing and see what happens. As for Mass Effect 3, I have not played any of the Mass Effect games. I know Mass Effect 3 is the new one. I know a little tiny bit about it. I watched some video that was linked to on Reddit where this guy called Total Biscuit, I think, who's a pretty popular dude, but I don't watch his videos normally. He did this whole thing about DLC. He was ranting and raving about downloadable content and how he thought that, BioWare, the company that puts out Mass Effect 3, they were handling it all wrong because there was some new character downloadable content that you could buy, but the character was this from this race that you've never seen in the game or you've barely seen in the game. They're like, they play a pivotal role in the game. And so it's like kind of an essential piece of content, and the fact that it's downloadable and you have to pay for it separately rather than being a part of the game, and the fact that it was done before the game came out made him feel like that wasn't fair. But anyway, while he was talking over video from what I believe was the first part of Mass Effect 3, which I think might have even been from the demo. I think there was a demo. So I've seen what it looks like. I think some of it visually looks cool. I think some of the like mechanical stuff looks cool. There were some cityscapes that I thought looked kind of cool. I think the characters look retarded, and I think they suffer from the same thing that a lot of newer games characters suffer from. One thing that I notice in a lot of games, and I don't know why this is, it could be a technical limitation of the hardware, but I don't think so. I think it's a limitation of what people are doing with the hardware. Anyway, one thing I notice a lot in newer games is that there will be human characters that are meant to look realistic. It's clear that they're trying to make these look like people, that if they could, they would have just used people. But they can't, so they do their best. And the people always look shiny. And it wouldn't even be so bad if the shininess made them look sweaty or something. It'd be weird that your characters were always sweaty, no matter what they were doing, no matter what the cutscene was. But it doesn't. It's like it's a weird shine, like almost like a not highly polished metal. Like it's a kind of a diffuse sheen all over them. It's not really specular. They're just kind of shiny. And I don't think that's a technical limitation of the hardware. I think that people do that on purpose because they expect computer graphics to look a certain way. I think it's the same thing with animation in movies. The other day, for reasons I can't remember, I was watching some video clip from one of the Star Wars prequels. I think it was The Phantom Menace. And I was watching Jar Jar Binks wander around. And I've always thought that the animation of CG characters in movies looks way too smooth. And it almost looks like it's in slow motion or something. Like everything is way too fluid. And that makes it look unrealistic. I think that's a big part of why the stuff never looks real. And there was a part where Jar Jar Binks jumped. And the jump didn't look real. Like he jumped in the air and it didn't look like there was any force behind it. It almost looked like when they have people jump really, really high in movies and they actually put the person on wires, and it's very clear that they were not propelled by the force of their own jump, that they were pulled in the air instead. That's kind of what it looked like. And there's no reason for it to look like that when you're animating the whole thing yourself by hand. I think with the animations in movies and stuff, they have a desire to make it as smooth as possible because they think that's best, like almost better than real. And I don't think they reference life enough when they do that. I think they reference life just enough to get an idea of how animations go, how walking cycles go and stuff. And then they go into artist mode and they just make shit up. And all they really care about is how good it looks and not how real it looks. And I think it's the same thing in games. I think they're adding bump maps and normal maps and shit and texture maps to these characters. And when you add a normal map or a bump map, which is basically a 2D image, like a texture, but it has, it uses the values in that 2D image to sort of affect the way the lighting affects the model. So it makes it look like it has more 3D detail than the model actually does. I think when they do stuff like that, they play with the specular highlights and the reflectiveness and stuff. And I think they get to a level where they feel like you can see the details they've put into those maps the way they want you to. And that's what they were concerned with when they were setting up the reflectiveness of the material, rather than trying to make it look like human skin, which is actually pretty matte in real life. It's not really shiny at all unless you're sweaty. So that's the visuals. I don't know anything else about the game, really. I know there's a Commander Shepard, and it can be either a boy or a girl. And yeah, I really don't give a fuck. It doesn't really interest me. My dad played the first one, at least. The first one was a timed exclusive on the Xbox 360. I'm not positive about that. Maybe it came out on PC too. But I remember my dad buying an Xbox 360, and I think the only game he bought for it was Mass Effect. And I want to say he bought it for Mass Effect, and he had an art book for Mass Effect. So he at least dug the concept of the first one. I don't know how much of it he played, and I don't know if he's kept up with them. But yeah, I don't give a fuck. But I keep hearing about it anyway, because I listen to some video game podcasts, and I go to certain websites where people talk about video games. Yeah, I don't give a fuck. You and me are in the same boat, Bames. Then our buddy Devin says, how might you gentlemen feel if your menopausal mothers had a child now? Oh boy. If I had a new little brother or sister, I would feel really weird about it. Especially me, I think, because my mom lives in Australia now. So if my mom had a kid right now, who knows if or when I would ever see it. And on top of that, I already would feel weird. Like, I don't know if I could look at a child born now as a sibling. You know, I don't know if I could make it work in my head that this is now my brother or my sister, not having grown up with them myself and having them having grown up apart from me for most of their lives. I don't know. But other than that, I mean, I would think it was a horrible idea. But I imagine if my mom had a child right now, it would be an accident, and because she didn't think it could happen or whatever, and she just wouldn't want to have an abortion or something. So while I would think it was a horrible idea, I don't think my mom would do it on purpose. I don't know. I guess that's it. I would think it was a terrible idea, and I would feel weird about it because I don't know if I would ever even meet the kid, and even if I did, I don't know if I'd be able to think of them as a sibling. Then our buddy Devin says, also, have you watched Battlestar Galactica? Now that is a show. I've heard that, but I've only ever heard that from nerds whose opinions I don't trust. Although from the same kind of nerds, I heard about Doctor Who and eventually watched it, and I liked that. So maybe I probably would like Battlestar Galactica, but I've never watched it. And I've heard something about the last episode or at least the ending of the show, like, watch all of it except for the last episode and then pretend, like, make up your own last episode. Because I heard it gets, like, supernatural or something, or something to do with God, maybe. I'm not sure. So I don't know. Maybe someday I'll check out Battlestar Galactica. And that may be it for the Twitter. Yeah, that's it for the Twitter. And we got no voicemails this week, unless I'm crazy and I missed them. But I did go through looking before I started doing this, and I don't see any new voicemails. So, I don't know. Should I get into other stuff? I got a couple other things I could talk about. There's a new Ninja Turtles movie being made by Michael Bay. And I've known about this kind of sort of for a while, but I wasn't sure if it was really going to happen. Like, I'd been hearing little rumors, little rumbles about it for a while. But, you know, I'd heard about a live action Akira movie for years that was supposed to be, it was supposed to have, like, Leonardo DiCaprio at the helm. I don't know, as a director or a screenwriter or an actor or all of the three. I have no idea. But that's been talked about forever. I think that might finally have been put to rest. But, you know, you hear about things like that every once in a while. It's like, yeah, that's not going to happen. But apparently this is really going to happen. They're aiming for like a Christmas 2013 release. And Michael Bay, I guess, recently said, this is a quote that he said. He said, "When you see this movie, kids are going to believe one day that these turtles actually do exist when we're done with this movie." Which automatically I'm like, what? What the fuck are you talking about? You're going to trick kids into thinking that these turtles are real? Okay. Then he says, "These turtles are from an alien race and they are going to be tough, edgy, funny, and completely lovable." Which, what? They're an alien race? Okay. I said recently that like with comic books and stuff, if you're going to adapt things, you need to adapt them. Like you need to have a slightly different take on it. You can't just take a comic book and make it. Because it's going to be, because the source material is retarded. So your movie's going to be retarded and the expectations are different and people are going to hate you. So I guess he's kind of doing that. He's like, this is his own take on it. He's making them aliens. I guess it's a little bit of a bigger deal than when they made Spider-Man's web shooters organic instead of mechanical. But it's kind of the same idea. They're taking a different run at it. Although, the show is called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If they're not mutants anymore and instead they're aliens, are you going to change the name of the show to Teenage Alien Ninja Turtles? And if they're aliens, like, where'd they get the idea for... I have a feeling this is going to annoy me. Not so much because it's, like, blasphemous. Because one thing I think it's important for people to remember when shit like this happens, and I get that it's easy to get, like, to forget this or whatever, but one thing you need to remember is that this doesn't change anything that already exists. Like if you're a huge Ninja Turtles fan and Michael Bay releases this steaming pile of alien turtle shit, it doesn't change anything that came out before. All the stuff that you liked before is still there for you to go back and enjoy. And he didn't ruin it because he just made a new thing that you don't happen to like. What was I saying? I forgot what I was saying. But I think this is going to bother me anyway, just on its own merits or whatever, because the first thing I think of when I think of them being aliens is, one of the first things I think of is, are they going to arrive speaking English? And is that going to be explained at all? Are they going to arrive fully grown? Are they going to have a Master Splinter? Is there going to be a rat species and a turtle species on their home planet? Where did they get the idea to be ninjas? There are ninjas on this planet. I could see in a Michael Bay version of Ninja Turtles, like them, you know, people talk sometimes about our broadcasts, you know, television broadcasts, radio broadcasts, just being out there bouncing around in space. And I think like the movie Flight of the Navigator, The Explorers, there were those aliens that like would just pick up our signals, our TV signals and stuff. And they would kind of imitate us that way. So I could see Michael Bay being like, yeah, on their home planet, they got all of our old TV signals and stuff. And so they're watching like kung fu movies and shit. And that's where they get the idea to be ninjas, which ninjas aren't kung fu. Kung fu's Chinese, ninjas are Japanese, but whatever. I could see that being how that goes down. Maybe that's how they learned English too. But the whole thing is probably going to bother me, but it's also probably for kids. And if I was a kid when it came out, I probably wouldn't hate it. But I would bet that I wouldn't like it as much as I liked the Ninja Turtles, the way they did happen. Kind of like the idea of this kind of reminds me a little bit of this movie called Spaced Invaders, where these aliens come to Earth. I don't remember much about it, which is my point. It had like these aliens with, I think, animatronic heads, and it was kind of Ninja Turtles-y, but they were aliens, and it was a comedy. And I remember almost nothing about it, which it seems like it should have been right up my alley, but I don't remember shit about it because it was crap. So that's the new Ninja Turtles movie. And I think I might call it quits here because I'm starting to do a lot of, and I don't want to frustrate myself or whatever. So this is a short show, but I wanted to give you something partially just to keep the episode count where it should be, and partially just because I felt bad, because I didn't even really say anything when we missed an episode. I just was like, eh. I think I said, yeah, if you notice we haven't done an episode, why don't you go check out Whiskey Thursday, which you should do, but here's an episode. All right, as usual, you can email me at kyle@ijusthadaterriblethought.com or orion@ijusthadanorion.com. And you can check us out on the Facebook and the Twitter, facebook.com/itchhat and twitter.com/itchhat. And you can leave us a voicemail, which is one of my favorite things, at 616-328-5581.
That's 616-328-5581.
And, one of the things we talked about during Whiskey Thursday is t-shirts. I mentioned a long time ago that I was putting together a new way for people to buy t-shirts because we've sold Zazzle.com t-shirts in the past. And they are ridiculously expensive and pretty much nobody bought them because they're ridiculously expensive. But I don't have the money to buy a bunch of t-shirts ahead of time and then sell them myself. So I needed to have a way like to have them print on demand. Well, I found another site that does that and does it considerably cheaper. And I think the quality's even better. Well, I know the quality's even better because I ordered one myself. And that is Spreadshirt.com. So this has existed for a while. I've just not told anybody because I wanted to get more inventory in there, more options before I told anybody. But ijhat.spreadshirt.com, ijhatt.spreadshirt, spreadshirt.com, ijhat.spreadshirt.com. That is our new Spreadshirt store. There are only a couple of varieties of t-shirt on there. And I think right now they're all only available in red. So I need to get in there and at least make black ones available or something. But there's the regular Itch Hat logo, like the one that we have in our pictures of Orion and I wearing Itch Hat shirts. And there's the Itch Hat circle logo that you may have seen on the Facebook, which is the shirt that I bought from Spreadshirt. And the quality's great. And the cheapest shirt available is $11.40. So it's much cheaper. The most expensive one, I think, is 15 something. Whereas the Zazzle shirts were like 30 something dollars. And what was I saying? Or what was I thinking? See, this is why I'm ending the show. Oh, and I'm not taking a cut. Spreadshirt lets you put how much you want to make on the shirts, like what kind of profit you want to make on them. And it adds that to the price. I would just love for you to have the shirts. So I have not added anything to the price. I'm making them as cheap as it will let me. So while you won't be supporting, if you buy the shirts, you won't be supporting the show monetarily. But I don't want that to discourage you. I just really would love to know that people out there have our shirts. So if you would like one, go buy one. Itchhat.spreadshirt.com. And of course, you can donate. Send us all your monies. There's a button on the main page of the website. Click on that. Say all my monies and click send. And that's it. So thanks for listening, guys. We will check you next week.